Thanks. My name is Carrie Clark. I'm the research associate for organic row crops research at the University of Missouri. I spent most of my career as a soybean breeder. I was breeding edamame soybeans, which brought me into contact with the organic community in Missouri. I kind of got interested in their problems and switched my research focus. Missouri doesn't have as many organic growers as they do in the upper Midwest, but we are, I think, the number two state for the number of farms. We have a lot of small farmers, and so there's a lot of potential growth for organic in Missouri. You guys are all familiar with the organic standards. For us as soil scientists and agronomists, we're most interested in the preservation of natural resources and biodiversity. Unfortunately, some of the practices that organic growers engage in are going to be counter to conserving those natural resources. There's a wide body of research that tells us that tillage disrupts our soil structure, can make it more difficult for our water infiltration and plant available water, and it breaks down carbon quicker, and carbon is so important for so many of the things that organic growers are trying to achieve. In Missouri, we'll have people probably do up to 10 tillages on a row crop farm. So a few years ago, the Missouri Organic Association came to us and asked us to look into the organic no-till practices that have been pioneered by Rodale Institute. No Missouri farmer was really willing to try it on their own first. They wanted to see the university put their money into it. A lot of the Missouri growers were also worried that our clay pan soils might not work as well. So we started an organic research program at the University of Missouri at that point. The first project was to examine the effects of using cover crops in organic no-till. We wanted to see how that affected crop yield, weed control, soil quality, greenhouse gas emissions, and profitability. And I am not presenting the greenhouse gas emissions data here today. So our crop rotation was corn, soybeans, wheat. We had a summer cover crop grown after wheat. In year one, it was buckwheat, which we found out not good in dry conditions. So the next 2 years, we went to cowpea, sun hemp mix. The cover crop was cereal rye before soybean and rye vetch mix before corn. Our planting rate was a little bit lower than some of the other people have shown here. We did do kind of a side study, and we weren't seeing a big effect in biomass as we increased planting rates, so we tried to find an economical level to go with. We also used 4 compost levels as split plots, and that was actually done as part of the greenhouse gas project, was why we did that. The treatments were no-till with a roll cover crop, which is the NTCC, and then a second treatment was tilled with the cover crop. So in this case, we let the cover crop go to anthesis in both cases. In the no-till, we crimped it. In the till, we mowed it and then disced it under. And then we had treatments with no cover crop that we tilled, just as, you know, kind of business as usual. The compost split pot, it was turkey litter, which there is a thriving turkey industry in Missouri. We did 0 compost, half recommended level, and 1.5 times. The University of Missouri recommends that people who apply compost apply it based on phosphorus, not nitrogen, so that we don't end up with phosphorus pollution. So we were trying to be good environmental stewards and practice what we preach, and we went with that based on phosphorus levels, and you'll see that causes a lot of trouble later. The research was done at Columbia, Missouri, in the center of the state, the Bradford Research Center. We have about 20 centimeters of topsoil, and then we hit clay pan. And that's pretty prevalent across northern Missouri. In southern Missouri, we have 2 centimeters of soil and rock, so it's a little bit better in the north. We do use the I&J crimper, like most of you guys have shown. And one of the things we found that immediately, having those cover crops out there affected biodiversity on the farm. You can see the picture of the hairy vetch there with the bees. I mean, we probably, multiplied by a factor of 1,000,000 the number of bees on that farm when we started growing hairy vetch. It was actually really kind of personally devastating to me to have to crimp it because we didn't have an alternative refuge for all those bees to go to. And you can see down at the bottom picture there, we even had wildlife living in it. That poor little possum mom and her babies nearly got crimped one year. And so it scares me to death to go out and crimp a cover crop. The other thing we found immediately, which several of you guys have already alluded to, was that good seed-to-soil contact can be a serious challenge. That cover crop mat, if you get good biomass, is extremely thick and it's hard to get your equipment down into it. We had our planter set on maximum planting depth, and still, you know, we didn't have a problem with it cutting the cover crop, but we had problems just getting it into the soil. So what we did is we completely removed our no-till cultures. That, instead of distributing, once we did that, instead of the weight being distributed over the front and the back of the planter, all the weight's now on our double disc openers. So the double disc openers are slicing the cover crop, and we have more weight right there where the seed's coming down. And that has worked much better for us to have those no-till cultures off. We also experimented with a variety of closing wheels and discovered that the spiked closing wheels work better. And those have chains behind them. I have since removed those chains because they tend to get caught in the spikes. But so we're just going with the double disc openers and the spike closing wheels at this point. So you can see from this graph that in corn, as Aaron said, we've had a lot of issues in corn with the organic no-till. Our plant population was very much affected by the no-till cover crop treatments. We also had some reduced population where we had mowed the cover crop, and that's due to, we think, probably mostly due to hairpinning. So we mowed and crimped and planted the same day. So the residue that we mowed tended to get pulled down into the seed furrow and tended to dry out the seed furrow and reduce germination. So this is a photo of what these plots looked like in 2012. And, you know, another thing is I did spend 20 years as a soybean breeder, and this is one of the first times I've ever planted corn. I've come to hate corn, but. So on the left there, you can see that's the no-till with the cover crop. And what's the first thing you see? The vetch didn't die. So we tilled, you know, we had been to several presentations by Steve Moyer, who was crimping and planting in the same path, and we cannot do that. And that does not work for us in Missouri. We're crimping three times to try to get it to lay down and die. And you can see, you know, in the background there too, there's another plot like this. So the middle plot, that's where we had no cover crop and we tilled. So just conventional organic. And you can see better growth because we had faster germination there. And then the far on the right there, that's the tilled with the cover crop. And I think that was largely the hairpinning was a problem there. So corn yield kind of went along with corn population, reduced yields in the no-till with cover crop. Of course, corn responded to compost rate, so as compost rate went up, yield went up. You will see in the tilled cover crop, we did have higher yields at the lower compost rate, so we were getting some nitrogen benefit from that hairy vetch. But you can see our farm average for non-organic corn is 9,500 kilograms per hectare. And we were down, you know, below 5,000. So that's the beginnings of you seeing when you put compost on based on phosphorus rate and not nitrogen rate. So this is soybeans. We've had quite a bit different results in soybeans. This is in 2012, and this was a serious drought year, too. And I don't have this data, but surface moisture at the time of germination was much better in our no-till plots. But throughout that growing season, here on the left, that's the no-cover crop with tillage, and on the right is no-tilled with a row cover crop. And you can see that there's not a lot of growth differences there. But when it came to yield, we did have significantly lower yield in the no-till soybeans. We did do moisture data, and deeper moisture levels, the cover crop did dry the soil out more than it, whereas at the surface it conserved moisture. So I suspect that what happened was that soybean growth may have been affected in that drought year by the cover crop removing too much moisture deeper down. And then in 2013, some of our higher yields were in the no-till cover crop. So it was a very successful system in 2013. And then in 2014, we had a total crash in the no-till cover crop system. And this was 3 years of basing our fertility on phosphorus rates. The cover crop did not grow. So what happened was we got that. We got weeds. We had no weed control from our cover crop. So we have come to realize through studies like this that fertility of the cover crop is going to be very important in organic no-till. And if you're not getting the biomass, you're not going to get the weed control. It's never going to be a successful system. So we are now fertilizing our cover crop with compost in the fall. Wheat yield was, of course, affected by compost, as you would expect. It doesn't really show up too much in this graph as it being affected by tillage and cover crop. However, what did happen is, since you have to wait for the rye to go to anthesis before you crimp it, we had quite a bit of rye set seed. And so we, at one point, we had wheat fields that you could not have sold as wheat fields. You would have probably had to sell them as a rye field. So rye did become a significant weed with wheat in the rotation. So some of the soil quality tests, indicators that we looked at, greenhouse gas emissions, active carbon, beta-glucosidase, we did PLFA analysis, we looked at water-stable aggregates, and then some fertility issues, macronutrients, organic carbon. So active carbon surprised me. I thought I would see more results. This was actually not a whole lot of changes in the active carbon levels of these treatments. It was affected by compost rate across years and across crops, but there was no significant differences with tillage or cover crop practice on active carbon. Beta-glucosidase also was affected by compost rate, and across years and crops, we didn't have any significant differences with tillage and cover crop practice, although I forgot to put this slide in. We did with soybean, and in fact, most soil quality factors were significantly different, or they were significantly higher in soybean plots in the no-till or with the cover crop. So because soybean is a lower residue crop, it did show a greater response to the addition of cover crops. Whereas corn and wheat, you know, being higher residue crops, they didn't show as much response. So we looked at PLFA biomass, and this was affected by tillage and cover crop practice with the treatment with tillage and no cover crop being significantly lower in PLFA biomass. There was no significant differences in compost rate. I'm not really sure how that will then translate, if that translates at some point to down the road better soil quality or higher yields, but it just is what it is at this point. So aggregate stability also was affected by tillage and cover crop practice with the tilled plots with no cover crop being significant lower in aggregate stability, and no significant differences in compost rate on that one either. So some of our conclusions: organic no-till can be as high yielding in soybeans and wheat as conventional till if weeds are controlled. We found that we were not able to completely successfully control weeds with the crimped cover crop. They usually came in late season. We've now started a four-year project looking at different weed control methods in organic no-till so that you can maintain your no-till. We're looking at between row mowing, hot water spray, and then a weed puller. We found corn to be very challenging because of the soil-to-seed contact and because of lower planting populations. If you miss a few plants, did you just now stand up?
No.
Oh, I'm done. Okay.
You just
sorry.
Noticed me.
Yeah. Okay. So corn's a challenge. We found the changes in soil quality to be somewhat minor in the three-year period, and then getting that good cover crop stand, as other people have said, was the biggest problem. And because you have to wait for the corn to go to anthesis, you're delaying crop planting in the spring, which delays crop harvest in the fall, which delays cover crop planting in the fall again. This research was funded by USDA NITFA, and then the Ceres Trust also didn't fund this project, but does give us some organic funding as well. Any questions, or did I?
No time for questions.
Sorry about that.
We can speak of Kirby later. Thank you.